Good morning. I want to welcome all of you this morning. I have a question for you to start this morning. How many of you have experienced something like this? A missionary to people from South America who have an animistic worldview speaks at your church. He says, every spring they kill a pig so they can have a good harvest. And you look at the person beside you and you just say, those poor people, they don't get it. They don't know about fertilizer. They don't know about improved seeds. When will they ever learn? Next question. Is there any chance that our idea about reality is distorted too? Let's just say there's a continuum. Those animistic people who see spirits controlling everything, and over here is North American secular view that says spirits, if there's any, don't have anything to do. So where are you? Where should you be? What is reality? I want you to think about that. I'm going to suggest that we tend to get radicalized either over here or over here. And maybe truth is somewhere in the middle. One of the reasons that I want to share this devotional this morning is that I believe that our enemy is more involved in your life than you think, and that he wants to hide. I'd like to talk about three ideas, three places where I think he tries to meddle with our lives, in our thoughts, in our relationships, and in world events. I'm going to try to change the way you think about him in those ways. I deliberately choose to not use a name. I believe I have a biblical view of our enemy, that he's a being, that he's determined to destroy us, that he's real, that he has power. I believe all those things, but I just choose to use our enemy instead of a proper name because I don't want him to get any credit. Before we go any further, let's just think about our enemy's nature. Jesus in John 8:44 said, you are of your father, talking to the religious leaders, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly. Revelation 12:10, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. So he's destructive, he's deceptive, he kills, and he accuses Christians before God. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, so that we may not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. Other translations would use the word devices, strategies, schemes, intentions, or plans. So Paul says we're not ignorant of his devices, of the way he tries to work. I want to think about three areas. I said it's about your thoughts, about your relationships, and about world events. Have you ever had a horrifying thought of doing something really awful, like killing somebody or acting out sexually, and you just were horrified? You said, where in the world did that thought come from? And you even felt guilty. I'm going to suggest that our enemy has the ability to inject thoughts into your mind. Now, if you're thinking hateful thoughts, if you're thinking lustful thoughts and acting out fantasies, it may be that those thoughts are coming from you. But it's also possible that if you're trying to live a godly life, that there's thoughts that get, but are suddenly there, and they don't come from you. You really ought to be able to tell when the things that you're thinking come from you, when they come from God, and when they come from Satan. It's pretty important to know. Let me give you a personal example. I like to preach, and in the past, I've taken the opportunity to preach when I get a chance to. I can be studying, and things are going well, and I'm all excited about what God's giving me, and I'm just pumped, as they say. And then a thought comes to me. Arthur, why in the world did you accept this? You're going to make a fool of yourself. People are going to see you for who you are, and you're going to be exposed. And what do you think that does to my creativity? Things shut down. The sad thing is that not until 4 years ago did I understand that those are injected thoughts coming from my enemy, and that instead of just kind of, yeah, I guess that's right, why in the world did I do this? I now know to say, that's not true. And to, in prayer, ask God to free me from those thoughts and to get back on track. James 4:7 says, submit to God and resist the devil. I think we tend to be a little bit scared of, boy, this, if Arthur says that there, I might be having thoughts in my mind that don't come from me. Ooh. Satan is up here and I'm down here. Do I have any right to resist him? Well, I would just like to say the Bible's very clear. You ought to resist him, but do it in the right order. Submit to God. And if you're submitting to God, if you're under him, his authority, then are you down here and he up here? No. You have authority over our enemy. Number two, relationships. Do you ever have a conflicted relationship and you're trying really hard to connect and you're doing everything right and it just feels like the more you try, the worse it gets? Maybe that's not your situation. But I'm going to tell you three stories. Lil and I had a very, very difficult relationship with another couple. And it only got worse. They said that Lil said something about them many years ago that is just terribly, terribly hard to believe. It is so opposite of what we believe in a spouse and our values. But they knew it. They remembered it very clearly. And we had no choice but to say, I'm very, very sorry. Please forgive us. It just got worse. And then I thought about this idea. Is there any chance that our enemy is just keeping us from really being able to hear each other, each other's words and heart? And so at the next meeting, I asked that we pray together. Would it be okay if we pray and just say, God, if our enemy is getting in the way and keeping us from really being able to hear, I ask that you would send your holy warrior angels so that he can't be active. Did you know that was a powerful turnaround? We have a good relationship with those people today. I really believe that there are times when our enemy makes so that you hear things they didn't say, and they say things that you didn't hear. May I say something else? I think there's a lot of church splits that happen because we don't hear each other. I've been in that kind of a situation. And I talked to someone a year ago who said, he went back and asked and did the research. And one person says, I know you said it. The other person says, I know I didn't say it. Let me tell you a third story. Last night, Lil asked me to help her with returning something that she had bought online. So I was there doing it, and I was trying to upload the pictures, and it just, nothing worked. And I just felt myself getting really frustrated with Lil. Like, boy, you know, why do I always have to do this? And what? And all of a sudden I said, what? What's going on? This is the woman that I love. She's my best friend. What's going on? And so I went to her and I said, Lil, I just felt like it was important for us to talk. And I said, Lil, I love you. I care about you. Well, what's going on? And then she told me her story. She told me about how that yesterday we were at the wedding and we stayed up on the balcony and it was just really good. But then the reception, we were with everyone else, and Lil just felt so frustrated with the way that her face looks. She feels joyful, she feels good inside, but on the outside, it looks like she's frowning, like she can't smile. And she just told me there were so many people I would have loved to talk to, and normally I would have, but I just felt like that stood in the way, and I was just feeling really down. And I thought to myself, how awful to not have recognized that our enemy wanted to put walls between us and to make a difficult situation worse. We prayed together, and quickly we were on the same page again. But I want to suggest that your enemy wants to mess with you in what you think and in your relationships. This week, if you feel like a good relationship suddenly goes sour or what's going on, I want you to think about the possibility that our enemy is messing with you, and it doesn't have to be a big deal, but the prayer that says, God, please help us to connect with each other and our enemy not be able to get in the way, I think is a really good prayer. I once heard a famous preacher say that if there's something going on with your friend and it just seems weird, do this. He said, go to him privately, that's kind of like Matthew 18, and say, I feel like I'm seeing this about you, but it doesn't seem characteristic of you. What is the information that I'm lacking? What is it that I don't understand? I see this, 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 and this, and it makes me think this, but I don't think that's you. What is the information that I'm lacking? Think about that. That gives the other person a chance to say what you don't know. That person will be grateful that you want relationship with them. Number three, world events. What did we say about our enemy? He's a liar, he kills, and he steals. God's heart is that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's 2 Peter 3:9. 1 Timothy 4 says, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we should pray. But sometimes we get confused about who our enemy is. Your enemy is not Donald Trump or those nasty liberal Democrats. Ephesians 6 says that our enemy is, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present age, against the spiritual forces of evil heavenly places. He's evil, and he's trying to control people. But if we get our eyes and think that these people around you, or those people in government places, they're the problem, you've got the wrong picture. You don't understand who it is, who our enemy is, and your prayers probably won't be effective. We ought to be praying in sync with God. And what does God want? God wants there to be a climate where it's where people have the opportunity to hear the gospel and to choose. So let me just tell you these three stories. In Venezuela right now, there's a financial and a government meltdown. Things are going from bad to worse, and everybody wonders how much longer this can go on. People are starving. I'm sure that right now, churches in Caracas are kind of nervous about meeting, and I'm saying that gives you an idea how we ought to pray. The second story I want to tell you is that the Indonesia, we have special interests in Indonesia. You have interests because of people that you know and love are there. It was on April the 17th that they had presidential elections, but what we really won't know who the president is until May 22. It's a nation with many, many people, many, many islands. And I'm going to suggest that these two, both presidential candidates say, I won. I'm going to suggest that not both of them are equally open to the gospel. Does that give you a clue how we should pray? I think so. The third story I want to tell you is about El Salvador. On February 4th, there was presidential elections, and a candidate won who is a newcomer, has almost no political experience. He ran a platform saying it's time for new ideas. Let's get rid of the leftist government that's been in power for 10 years. Let's say no to the rightist government that was in power for the 20 years before that. Let's go a new way. And people voted for him. They came out in numbers like it's almost never happened before. I asked my friend Daniel Garcia, I said, what's going on? I said, what kind of a cabinet does he have? What does it look like? And he said, we're at less than 2 months from the elections, from him taking power on July the 1st, and there's no... He hasn't even talked about his cabinet. I think he's inept. I think he's not a good president. I think he's just trying to figure out what to do. I propose that there's some high-ranking officials that will have a lot to do with the kind of freedom that the children's home that I love very much in El Salvador will have. Does that give you an idea how to pray? Yes, it does. So we've talked about thoughts, your thoughts, and that our enemy can inject thoughts. We've talked about relationships and that he can get in the middle. We've talked about world events and how our enemy tries to make so that people don't have a right to choose, don't have the freedom to choose. I hope you know how to pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've looked at the ways that that our enemy is meddling and he wants to stay hidden. I pray that you would open our eyes so that we can see and confront and resist him the right way so that truth and righteousness and godliness and whole relationships can happen. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.